up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
I was born a girl, but I want to be a boy. I never actually said those words out loud, but I thought them a lot. Between the ages of 9 and 15, I did not want to be a girl. I wanted to be a boy. In my mind, I wasn't fit to be a girl. I wasn't pretty, or so I thought. I enjoyed sports and roughhousing. I was stronger than the guys my age and more drawn to being a leader. According to the religion and culture I knew, being a boy made me so much more sense. My religion said that only men could be leaders, and my culture told me that women should be beautiful. Since I was a strong leader and didn't think I was beautiful, logically, I thought perhaps I should not be a woman. And those are the opening words from a brand new article that's out there. I linked to it on Facebook about the issue of gender confusion from somebody that's walked a mile in those shoes. And she's here with me in the studio today. We're going to talk through this story. Janielle is a student out here at Southeastern. And this is an incredible article that you should read, because when it comes to the gender issue, as we've seen, whether it's Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, all that you see, if you're here in North Carolina or really anywhere in the country, like with the HB2 bill, this is a topic that almost nobody was talking about 5 or 10 years ago. But now it's a common thing, as we look at even a federal government going so far as to threaten to pull education funding in North Carolina over the issue of gender and gender specificity and gender confusion and gender identity. And if you're still living in the dark ages and you think gender is just binary, boy or girl, innie or an outie, then you apparently are wrong and are actually hateful because you hold that stance. So for a lot of us, anger is the first response to this issue. Very rarely, unfortunately, I think it's compassion or a desire to understand, to admit that this one's just like the gay marriage was 20 years ago when we first started talking about it. It's something that you're not comfortable with. That's fine. It's something that you don't understand very well. That's fine. But we cannot claim ignorance as the culture continues to change in a direction that goes against our understanding as Christians of gender and the role that it plays, obviously, in life. So today on Theology Thursday, we're going to go down this road. Janielle is with me. And like I said, she's a student out here at Southeastern. And it's great to have you in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
You're very welcome. Now, this was probably, was this difficult for you to write this article? Because is this the first time, Janielle, that you've kind of done something like this publicly to talk about what's happened in your past?
Yeah, definitely. I've never said the words prior to telling somebody that I wanted to write this article, just that I struggled with my gender identity. I've never talked about that.
Was there something that happened recently that kind of said, okay, I gotta do this? Or was it more of a slow transition to the point where you're at now, willing to talk about it and write about it?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of been building over the last year. And then once the whole HB2 and the Obama administration's reaction to that was like, okay, I've got to start saying something. I've got to talk for these kids who are struggling with this right now, as someone who came out of the other side.
Well, let's dive into the past and go to your story and just kind of paint a picture for us, Janielle, so we understand what your upbringing was like, family life, where you grew up, and then as you began to discover that you were confused about your gender.
Yeah, so I grew up in small town South Carolina, and I grew up in the church. I was honestly and truly saved at a very young age, 6 years old, and you know, I started growing in my walk, and I know that I was in a very conservative Christian family. And so, you know, I'm not really sure when exactly it started. I guess around the age of 9, I started to really struggle with just all the things that I felt like were expected of me as a girl, and all the things that I wanted to do that it seemed like the boys always got to do. And, you know, I struggled with, okay, was I really made in the right way, I guess?
Is that because you know, we've kind of, and you talk about this in your article, we kind of have these molds. Mm-hmm. And the molds don't have a lot of differentiation. I mean, a boy is thus. Okay, mm-hmm. he likes sports. He likes to roughhouse. He wants to lead. He likes G.I. Joes. He likes the color blue. Mm-hmm. And you can assume that he's either going to be outside playing basketball or war or just breaking stuff. Okay, that's a guy. Mm-hmm. A girl, well, she obviously likes pink. She plays with Barbies. She likes to cook. She has no interest in sports or in roughhousing. She'd rather, make a new outfit for her Barbie doll or play dress up and do makeup. And so we have those two very black and white definitions of a boy and a girl. But is that kind of what was happening? You're like, I don't really fit that whole girly thing.
Oh, yeah. And even to call myself a tomboy really didn't feel right either, because, you know, I'd see tomboys on the movies and they still wanted to be beautiful, to wear makeup. And, you know, they like to do some of the guy things, but in the end, they really wanted to be a girl. And I just reached a point where I was like, I really don't think being a girl fits.
And what were you walking down this road? Was this completely just you? Nobody else knew you were having this conversation, or did you share at all with anybody?
Yeah, I didn't really talk about it. Usually, if I got anywhere close to sharing about it, usually with an older female who would be like, yeah, when I was your age, I was a tomboy too. And I was like, I don't think you were a tomboy quite to the degree that I am.
Yeah. So even that definition wasn't fitting.
Yeah, no.
And did you... How did, now, I know going back to when you were nine isn't the easiest thing in the world. God knows I don't even remember who I was when I was nine, because that was, you know, a long time ago. So what was that? Did you feel like you just didn't fit anywhere? I mean, how difficult was it for you as a 9 and 10 year old young girl, confused about, I mean, your gender, which most of us never even think about quite actually.
Yeah, it was a real struggle, and I was definitely a bit of a loner. I did have some girlfriends and guy friends, but nobody was really close. And, you know, I didn't really like to really talk about boys with other girls. And I didn't really like to talk about clothes and makeup. And when I got with the guys, it's all sports. And did you see that awesome move on the ball field last night?
Yeah, yeah.
And, I totally knocked it out of the park, whatever, you know. So
did you gravitate more to being around the guys than around the girls?
Definitely. Yeah, I was often at the guys' lunch table.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And then did anybody back then, parents or friends or anybody, start to ask questions or treat you differently?
Not really.
Not really. Okay,
yeah.
So there you are, kind of in isolation. What do you do with that as you're 9, 10, 11 years of age? We're going to pick it up there with Jean-Yel when we come back. This is Steve Noble. It is Called to Action. Of course, it's Thursday, so it's Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We'll pick it up there when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Called to Action Radio. It is Theology Thursday, of course, with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And you would know that if you got the daily email, the daily announcement. What email is that, Steve? Well, golly, you say you love Jesus and you don't get the emails. That's just incongruent, one might say. Well, you can go to the website, c2atoday.com. Just go to c2atoday.com and you can get signed up, and then you would get a simple little email every day that tells you, okay, here's what's coming up on the show, or if there's an article like there is today, linked to the guests like there is today. Jean-Yel is with me here at Southeastern, and she grew up in a conservative Christian home, but really struggled thinking that perhaps, just like the first line in the article she wrote, I was born a girl, but I want to be a boy. And this is, today's really the first time that she's talked about this publicly, even though the article just came out on July 5th. But I linked the article in the email. But if you missed that, you can get it on Facebook, where we're also live streaming the show on Facebook. So there you go. You can get in touch and be a part of what's going on. And then you know what's coming. And some days I don't expect you to be enamored to come listen to Call to Action Radio every day of the week. But most of the time, you're probably going to find the topic rather interesting. Do I talk about politics? Yes. Do I talk about it all the time? No, because I just can't be that guy anymore. There's more to life as an American, and specifically as a follower of Jesus Christ living in America, than the political system. It is important. It's not everything, but it's not nothing, as my good friend Bruce Ashford likes to say. And so, yes, we talk about that. We talk about theology every Thursday on Theology Thursday with Southeastern Baptist. And we go everywhere. What's the show about? Everything. The same thing that your Christianity should be about. So never a dull day. And certainly today, as we discuss a topic which we weren't really talking about much several years ago, but now We are on the heels of gay marriage passing around the country, which I still don't like that term, because I have a gay marriage. My marriage is exceptionally gay. Look up the word. Joyous, exuberant, fun. Yep, that's me. But now that we're down that road, that's behind us. The next thing, of course, gender itself. And so today, as we're talking to Janielle, who's a student out here at Southeastern, and what are you studying, by the way?
I am in MDiv and in Christian ministry, so I get to study a little bit of everything.
Yes, you do. And when do you think you'll graduate?
I'm not really sure. I spent a little time on the mission field, and so I would like to go back. And so I'm not really in a hurry to finish my degree, just to get enough credits to go back, and then maybe I'll slowly finish it off later.
I would still be willing to bet money that you'll finish before I will. But that's a whole nother subject. Anyway, we were talking about, there you are, you're growing up in a conservative Christian home, a conservative Christian church. You were convinced that you definitely became a believer when you were young, around six. You knew the Lord, you were advancing in your faith, yet you didn't fit the mold of what a little girl's supposed to be. And the guy thing, that seemed what? How would you describe it? Was that more attractive, more comfortable? I mean, looking back at it, when you looked at boys versus girls, did you just kind of say, well, that's the team I should be on? What was that like?
Well, first of all, I really enjoyed sports, and I can definitely think of a day when I was in the school gym and they divided us up between guys and girls, and the guys got to go play basketball and the girls were given jump ropes. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And so I actually went to my principal and I talked to him and got permission to go play basketball with the guys. And then the gym coach came over and like just ordered me off the court. And so I was just like, man, guys get to do everything that's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, the girls my age, they were catty and most of them were backstabbers. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't like drama. I still don't like drama.
Yeah, good for you. Praise the Lord. So, and you put here in the article that you wrote, over the course of my fifth grade year, I progressively cut my hair shorter and shorter. When I entered the sixth grade, my teachers actually mistook me for a boy. And then you add, I was proud. So at that point, were you considering, did you know much about gender reassignment and the options that are out there for people that are choosing to go down that road? Or how were you handling that internally in terms of your future?
Yeah, I definitely didn't know a lot about it. And I don't know that I ever would have done anything that drastic just because I'm not really a drastic kind of person. But the idea was to be perceived as a boy. So that way I could enjoy all the privileges that I saw going on.
Yeah. And did you think at one point that you were perhaps made wrong?
Yeah. I definitely thought that. Well, like I said in my article, I couldn't understand why God would give me all these gifts and talents that seemed to just line up so much better with being a boy, and then he'd make me a girl.
Did it get to a point, Janielle, when it was dark or depressing or angry or desperate feeling?
I mean, I felt that way in middle school. I don't know if it was necessarily just about my gender, though. I struggled with a lot of things. You know, and like I said, I didn't feel like I was pretty. You know, and that's very destructive for a girl to begin with. And so there were a lot of things that caused me a lot of emotional distress. And then there was, you know, the fact that there are just times when even when you look like a boy, the boys just won't accept you. And so, you know, I got shunted out of the guy group a lot. And of course, I looked like a boy and did all these boy things. And so I wasn't really accepted by the girls all the time either.
And now what about kids at church? How did they handle it?
So that was another thing. My parents decided that we needed to make a change.
Welcome back. It is Steve Noble live. Believe it or not, we lost power on the entire campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. By the way, Rush, the official band of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and you can quote me on that. But today, I'm sorry about that. We were talking to Janielle about her travels down the road of a really gender confusion and everything that means to an individual for her starting at about age 9. and through 15, just not fitting in with the boys group, not really fitting in with the girls group. And then we lost power, but we're back, and praise the Lord for that. So again, Janielle, thank you so much for being here and sharing this with us today. It's really a great privilege and a great blessing to have you here. I asked you the question right before we lost power about how like the kids at church treated you.
Yeah. So church, there was a lot of family at church. So it was like several cousins my age usually that I was with, but still I really didn't fit in with either gender. And then while I was in middle school, my parents decided it was time to make a change. And so we actually moved our membership to another church, and I was just starting to get involved with youth type stuff. And when I moved into this youth group, there were no guys my age. And so I was kind of forced to hang out with girls.
Did the change have anything to do with what you were experiencing, or were your parents completely in the dark about your struggles?
Yeah, no, I assume they were in the dark. We never really talked about it. I mean, I'm sure they knew there was some kind of struggle going on, but we didn't really talk about it. So the change had to do with the church we were at, and just my dad feeling like we need to go somewhere else. Just for mine and my brother's spiritual health, to just go to a church that was pursuing missions and things like that.
And at this point, were you in high school when you changed churches?
Middle school.
Middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into high school. You're still struggling with understanding your gender. Mm-hmm. Were you convinced at that point that God just made me wrong?
Yeah. I would say that as I transitioned from middle school to high school was when we started coming down from the moment of crisis, really. I just remember in eighth grade, some girls who really just were encouraging me and were telling me, Jordan, you're beautiful. And, you can, you know, be really beautiful. You know, you would look great in this dress. You would look great with this mascara, whatever.
Were these girls at school or girls at church?
These were girls at school. I mean, as different from me as they could possibly be, but they really just embraced me. And I spent a lot of my time, my eighth grade year, with them. They really just encouraged me so much. And so that was the point where I started to let my hair grow back out. And I started like pulling it back from my face. Yeah. I started to wear a little bit more feminine clothing. But I mean, I still wouldn't say that I'd really embrace being a woman. I was just like less intense about being perceived as a boy.
Yeah. Did you ever at one point when these girls were encouraging you, and that's so nice to hear, and disappointing that the answer wasn't, well, yeah, it was the kids in the church youth group. It was some girls at school. Were you concerned at first at all? Did the thought cross your mind, Janielle, that they're doing this just because they can't handle the fact that I'm not fitting into the girl thing and they think they need to fix me? Or was it, or did it seem totally genuine? And was it? It seems like it was based on the way you're describing it.
Yeah. It was it did seem pretty genuine. I definitely thought at first that they just felt like they needed to fix me. And I think there was a point where I kind of realized that maybe there was something that needed to be fixed.
Yeah.
So I was kind of willing to let them speak into my life and just willing to consider their suggestions and things like that.
And then, you notice this, you put this in the article, and I've talked about this previously. Studies show that left to themselves, these feelings will disappear toward the end of puberty for most of these children. That was from the American College of Pediatrics, which had an 8-point list of findings that they had about the issue of gender, and especially dealing with gender transition. And they went so far as to say any parent that would take their child down a sex reassignment trail is guilty of child abuse. It's a very strong article, but I think it was like about 88% of the kids that struggled like you did during those years, when they got through puberty, they came out of it.
Yeah.
And so it was a matter of people, in your case, people coming alongside to you and encouraging you in your womanhood. And so at that point, when do you think that you fully embraced, you know what, I am a woman. I might not fit the usual category that everybody puts out there, but I am a woman and I embrace that and I love that. When did you get to that point?
So I remember it very clearly. I was laying on the couch in my parents' house and I was reading a book, and I can't remember the name of the book, but it was a little bit about femininity, and the author just kind of brought out about how when God created Eve, he called her Adam's helper, and that particular word was only ever used to refer to military help. And she went on and connected that to how basically the woman was meant to be a ally in spiritual warfare for her husband. And suddenly it was like it kind of clicked. Okay, this roughhousing, this warrior mentality, these leadership abilities, they're actually meant for women.
Yeah.
You know, I am a warrior on the spiritual plane. And so that kind of just like rocked my world, really. And I started to really say, okay, so maybe God didn't make a mistake. And then when I actually kind of voiced that to myself, I was like, well, of course he didn't. God doesn't make mistakes.
Right. Yeah. And we all need to remember that. And so, I think, and we're going to get into kind of what the church needs to do. And we'll talk about families. If somebody listening to us right now has a son or a daughter or a loved one or a close friend that's dealing with gender issues. And then, of course, if somebody is listening to us right now and they're dealing with gender confusion themselves. But as you see what's happening now with HB2, you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, that why now? Why kind of come out and talk about this publicly now and write the article, which I linked to on Facebook today, friends, and it's also in the email today. So and I'll put it up on the website after the show. But as you see these things going on now, HB2 and the gender issue now is all over the place. How are you reacting? Because you have a perspective, Jean-Yel, that 99% of us do not have, cannot have. But mm-hmm. how are you reacting as you see our culture going down this gender transitional road where gender becomes a state of mind?
I really got to say, it just breaks my heart. And like, I had no idea that so many other children will struggle with this. And just remembering where I was, I mean, I felt like I did not qualify as a woman. I felt like less of a woman. And really, if you read the articles that came out when Bruce Jenner made his transition, he felt like he didn't fit as a man. He wasn't enough of a man. And that's just a horrible reason to go through the gender reassignment surgery. And I read another article about a kid whose mother was buying him hormones to help him with a sex change. And I was like, this kid is 12 years old. He's not even allowed to put a tattoo on his body without his parents' consent. And they're going to have him choose a permanent gender for himself. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So just like seeing how much this is actually affecting children more so even than adults, it's just, I've got to say something so that kids will know, hey, you know, what you're going through right now is not a permanent situation. And these feelings may very well dissipate with age. And, you know, you don't have to feel like less of a man or less of a woman because you don't fit whatever mold's been placed in front of you.
And you talk about this, and I'm going to transition into this part of your article, which is just really well written and a really incredibly helpful piece to read and to consider. But as we look at how the church is going to engage this, you open up with the one that, of course, we think is the Sunday school answer, but that's to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to the church in terms of addressing this issue, gender confusion in general, and specifically for younger people. Is that right?
Yes.
And then, so what about the role of prayer?
Pray early. You really need to be praying about these before, pray for all the children in your life, just before they even get to puberty, get to where they might be questioning this. Start praying for them to, first of all, just have a proper view of God and a proper view of themselves. I mean, really, if you have a proper view of God, a God who does not make mistakes, then you have to be okay with your gender because he doesn't make mistakes. He assigned this gender to you. It's good. But, and just, you know, pray that they will allow scripture to be authoritative in their lives and allow it to renew their minds. Cause that was another thing, just reading the scripture daily, you know, after I was saved, you know, and so I was reading scripture and, I really think that was part of what, helped form me was just to, hear those words of truth. And so you've got to pray for those things. You got to pray for them to find, where they fit, you know, find ways to use their gifts and talents, because yes, as a woman, you know, maybe leadership isn't always the best thing for me. You know, obviously I can't be a pastor or a deacon according to the Southern Baptist Convention, but there are other ways to use leadership as a woman, and they're great and beautiful things. And so you have to pray for them to find those things, and you have to start doing it early.
Yeah, and I think that one of the big points of this is that we have this conversation publicly because there's kids out there that are struggling with it. The other challenge right now, as the culture pushes to normalize the transition out of your God-given gender to another gender, as the culture pushes that, people will start to embrace it more, thinking that it's okay, it's fine, it's normal that you can switch your gender. And of course, we know that it's anything but. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that, the cookie cutter approach to manhood and womanhood, and then some other things that we can use practically. We'll be right back. Good old Boston, they may boycott our state, but I'll still play their song because I've got the grace of Jesus Christ in me. I'll leave it there. Today, it is Theology Thursday, of course. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you, as always, here on the campus of Southeastern Baptist. Talking to Jeanielle today, who spent several years of her young life dealing with and struggling with her gender. Didn't fit in with the girls, but didn't quite, of course, fit with the boys, and going through all that. This is a subject that has become a hot potato, to say the least, in our culture and in our country. And as Christians, we need to be able to address this and talk about it and not come at it purely from like an activist standpoint. There's, when you talk about gender issues, when you talk about homosexuality, there's something I call the ick factor, right? So, and nobody likes to bring that up. It's the ick factor where it's uncomfortable. There's something about two guys making out or whatever that people just go, oh, it's just so gross. And so, and I acknowledge that, but you got to see past that and remember that every person involved in gender confusion, homosexuality, whatever, is somebody made in the image of God. No, we are not all God's children. I'm so sick of hearing that, which gives everybody this false assurance that everything is going to be fine. No, it is not outside of faith in Christ. We are not all God's children. We're all made in his image. He loves us all, but you have to be adopted to become God's child. So, as we deal with gender today, and we're talking to Jeanielle, who's been down this road herself, this is one of those shows, the podcast and then the video that's now in two parts, thanks to the power outage, on Facebook. We want to share this. You want to get this out there to help other Christians to deal with it and people that are dealing with it themselves. It might be your son or your daughter. Maybe you've seen some of these things or they don't quite fit the boys group or the girls group. And that's not something that we run and hide from. We need to talk about it. And Jeanielle, you mentioned that nobody was really talking about it until you got really into high school age. And then a couple of girls there at your high school started to encourage you in your womanhood. And you talk about this several times in the article about this kind of cookie cutter approach, which I think was, it sounds like listening to your story, that was a big part of the problem because you didn't fit society's definition of what a girl should be. And then, of course, you're a girl who fits more of society's definition of boyish stuff. But don't you think there's room for some flexibility there, like a guy that has no interest in sports and no interest in roughhousing, who might be more intellectual or artsy, is still a man?
Oh, yeah.
And there's girls that have no interest in the Barbies. They want to throw them in the blender or whatever, set them on fire. And that doesn't mean you've got a gender problem. But now we're in a culture where everybody's saying, hey, if you're struggling with that, then obviously you need to be who you think you are. So go ahead and transition, which is really heartbreaking. And that's why you're really speaking out about this more for the children than for adults.
Yes.
And so how do we do, what can we do on the outside looking in terms of these kind of cookie cutter gender roles?
Yeah. You just really need to like affirm that, you know, not every girl plays with dolls. Not every girl likes to dress up in the Cinderella dress. Not every boy likes to play with G.I. Joes and blow things up. You know, and that needs to be okay. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with all that. You know, like I said, I was a very strong girl. Like I outlifted all the boys in the weight room.
Wow.
Yeah. I was a very strong leader. And one of the things that really helped me, my mom bought me all kinds of books on leadership, a lot of John C. Maxwell stuff.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I kind of learned that leadership isn't always out front and loud and boisterous. Sometimes it's from the back. And sometimes leading from the back through influence requires a lot more skill. And so that was kind of what started to lead me out was like, okay, God blessed me with this leadership stuff, so I didn't have to waste time doing all the easy stuff. Now I can concentrate on the harder stuff, being an influencer. You know, I learned through leading. I played basketball, and I was a captain for my basketball team, and I learned through leading them about great qualities of leadership. But the thing is, people started affirming me, you know, it's okay to be a leader as a woman.
Yeah.
You know, may not be able to lead in certain places according to, you know, scripture, but, you know, it's still okay for you to lead in
Absolutely.
Others.
Yeah. Well, you put this in the article, and the article, by the way, is called Confessions of a Christian Who Struggled with Gender Identity. It's on the Intersect website, which we always have linked on the Facebook page and on the email today. That's through Southeastern, but I've got it on my Facebook page, and I'll put it up on the website at c2atoday.com when we get off the air. But you said this on here: women are strong, sensitive, loud, quiet, tough, social, introverted, thoughtful, empathetic, athletic, direct, passive, and assertive. They can be gifted with leadership, evangelism, hospitality, faith, creativity, and technological intuition. Not one of those items are incompatible with womanhood. Here's the kicker. Not one of those items are incompatible with manhood either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the gems here from your article, Janelle, is that we have to kind of be very careful that we're not typecasting. So when you see, like, I have pictures of my now 15-year-old son who's just past my brother in height. So mm-hmm. he's like 6'4".
Wow.
I have pictures of him, and he's out of the state right now, so I can say this, in his sister's ballet outfit, and he was probably 3 or 4, and I'm like, hey, that's cute, but, you know, not all day, but it's no big deal at that age when they're playing around like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we typecast so much, which is the danger for us, even in the church, to say, hey, a boy has to be these things. It's a very tight scope. And a girl has to be these things. It's a very tight scope. When the world is going to take advantage of that,
mm-hmm.
Satan will take advantage
yeah.
of that. And largely that's your story is
mm-hmm.
that, hey, I didn't fit these very tight definitions of manhood mm-hmm. and womanhood. And that's a huge problem. Now, later in the article, you talk about practice speaking truth. I think this is probably the hardest thing for most of us
mm-hmm.
is where do we start? And particularly, let's start generally. How should we view people that are dealing with the gender issue?
Like I said, you really got to just affirm that. First of all, you got to affirm how God sees them. If they're a woman, then God sees them as beautiful and chosen, and just you know, they are. If they're elect, they're called to be His daughters. Now, we don't know who's elect, but, you know, we can call people out, hey, you know, you're meant to be this way.
Fearfully and wonderfully
exactly.
made. Exactly. And specifically, I would add.
Yes, yes. And the same with men, you know, like I said, the whole Bruce Jenner thing, he feels like he failed as a man. You know, we've got to, like, stand up and be like, no, you don't fail as a man because you can't lift 150 pounds over your head. I mean, you know.
Right.
There are a lot of men who can't do that.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely true. And I think we need to look out for that in the church confines. If we see somebody, if we see a young boy or a young girl, and they're getting some flack from people
because
mm-hmm. they don't fit a certain mold,
mm-hmm.
We have to be on the lookout for that because the world is coming after them.
Right.
And Satan's coming after them saying, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, you were made wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to switch.
Yes.
That's the pervasive lie that
mm-hmm.
now the government's behind that. All
yep.
kinds of things are behind that. But we need to come along with the truth, as you said, Janelle, and tell
mm-hmm.
them you were made a man and a woman, and then God's given you all these different gifts. It doesn't
yes.
mean there's something wrong with your gender.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use these strengths that
mm-hmm.
God has given you for
yes.
His glory.
Yeah, and I would say it's even more important to tell other kids as much as your own, because I know that my dad told me that I was beautiful for a long time, but it was once those girls at school started saying it too, and other parents from the church who, like, if I wore a dress would be like, oh my goodness, you're so beautiful. I started to really hear that.
Affirming your
yes,
femininity.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing, is like, it takes more people for you to hear that, especially because really, honestly, I thought I wasn't beautiful. People were saying that I was, but I still looked in the mirror and thought I wasn't beautiful.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
same as an anorexic person who is skin and bones, but looks in the mirror and thinks they're fat.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to hear truth before you'll start to see it.
What do you say as a daughter who went down this road? What do you say to the parents that are listening if they think maybe their son or daughter is dealing with this issue because they don't quite fit the regular boy mold or the regular girl mold?
Yeah. Like I said, pray for them, speak truth to them. Just keep calling them to do to follow God, to do what is right. And if don't press so much the you have to act like a boy or you have to act like a girl, because like we've already said, that's a huge spectrum.
Yeah.
You need to push instead. You need to follow God. And if you'll do that, then eventually they'll make their way around to following being a man or a woman, whatever they were assigned to be, because that's what God's going to lead them to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you brought this up in the article, and it bears out in the findings. 88% of kids that struggle with their gender, like you did, come out of it once they get through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just difficult years on any number of levels. Mm-hmm. Trust me, as a father of four, I get it now. But you, that was age 9 to 15.
Yeah.
And you stay with it, you stay affirming, you fight the cookie cutter mold, and then you fight the lie from the culture that there's something wrong. You were born the wrong gender.
Right.
And know that period, that season actually does change.
Yes.
It comes to an end. Mm-hmm. You get through puberty, you start to approach adulthood, and we have to remember that and be patient, I would imagine.
Yes.
What about if anybody's listening or they share this podcast or the video today, Jean-Yel, with somebody who's actually where you were several years ago? What do you say to that person who's feeling the way you felt when you were 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, that perhaps I was born the wrong gender? What do you say to them?
We serve a God who does not make mistakes. And so whatever he has gifted you with, that is what you are meant to have. If he has gifted you with being a woman, and it is a gift. It is a gift to be a woman, and it is a gift to be a man. They are different gifts, but they are both very good gifts. And whatever talents he has gifted you with, they can't be incompatible, because our God does not make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so just trust and pray and seek that plan for your life, because you know it's got to be there.
Yeah, that's right, because God created you and he does have a plan. It's right there in his word. Jean-Yel, thank you so much for really beginning to speak about this publicly. It's obvious that God is using you now. He used you with the article, and I know he'll continue to use you. So thank you for your courage, and thank you for your compassion and coming out and talking about this issue. It's really an awesome blessing. All right, friends, there you go. So if you know somebody down this road, and really, because it's happening all over the culture now, we should all be getting much more familiar with this topic and how to handle it with compassion, with patience, with truth. As followers of Jesus Christ, that's what we're commanded to do. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio, Theology Thursday. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.